You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we kick off with a sense of market movements throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, Nick Kunz, to take a look at market movements and see what we make of them. Nick, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. A better day on markets today. It's only the second day of the week, though we know that a lot could still happen. But coming out of the weekend, the expectation was that things like the oil price would be north of $105. We haven't yet breached that level this week. What do you make of today's movements?
Yeah, evening, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on. Evening to the listeners. Better day on the bourse, I guess. I mean, we were down a little bit in the first couple of hours of trade, and then spent the better half of the second half of the day sort of rallying up, finishing up about 0.6%. And yeah, just to your point, you know, coming in this morning, Asian markets were far better. We had Nvidia kicking off their once-a-year conference as well, and that went reasonably well as well. So tech was back in favour. And all those together led to a bit of a risk-on scenario. And also, just to end on your point as well, you know, oil, you know, back at, I guess, you know, West Texas at 95, not 100. You know, it's only $5, but psychologically, the fact that it's under 100, I guess, also led to a little bit of a risk-on day. So better all round today.
Nick, what seems to be moving around in the equity space? I see there aren't too much, or there aren't too many moving parts from an equity perspective, other than results and potentially some of the sentiment around those results. But European markets had a really good day; they were up more than 1%, where other markets may have lagged. What was their secret today?
Yeah, I think it's very much that risk on risk off scenario. When you're getting that, the last week certainly that risk off, you're getting a stronger dollar that was hitting the commodities, and the euro is on the back foot, and that sentiment sort of flowing back into U.S. assets. And I guess a day like today, you know, it's sort of a positive impetus to start with. The euro getting a little bit of a bit as well, and you know, that just generally fed into that European. But it really is a switch between, you know, good days in Europe and bad days in Europe to good days in the US and bad days in the US. So we're all following this oil price really at the end of the day.
It doesn't sound like there's a lot of certainty at the moment, Nick. I mean, an on-off situation doesn't bode well for investment decisions. I suppose if you're a day trader, you're loving the volatility. But the moment you're looking to make more longer-term or more thought-through decisions, I notice that we're seemingly in on Monday, out by Friday.
Yeah, it's very uncertain. Everyone's trying to find their edge, Jimmy, and trying to figure out, you know, where this goes, how it ends. I mean, I found myself today looking at real-time feeds of shipping lanes in the Straits of Hormuz, and I never thought it would be part of my investment thesis, but you know, everyone's an oil expert at the moment. But that's where we are. I mean, everything right now is literally hinging on that commodity complex and the ability to move goods through the Straits of Hormuz. You know, is it open? Is it shut? Until we get some sort of indication, we really are. So it's a bit of a guessing game, Jimmy.
Nick, how do we filter the information that comes out of the Middle East at the moment? There's been a lot of speculation around whether or not the Iranians have said that the strait is open to everybody except the United States. There have been claims that everybody has to now transact in Chinese yuan as opposed to US dollars. Now, we don't know from a truth perspective how reliable some of these statements are. How do you sift through that as an investor, and how does that affect your positions within the market if you're looking to take any?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I mean, it's a bit of a, you know, cliche, but, you know, you've got to look at the valuations, you've got to stick to your plans. I think we chatted last time, you know, you stick to your long-term plans and try and filter out the noise as hard as it is. I mean, as I said, you know, just a second ago, yeah, ultimately everything is hinging on what happens with this oil price right now. So if you can learn to try and not focus just on that, and then you can certainly rebalance portfolios accordingly. You've seen the last week, for example, you know, a little bit of money going into the tech space. You know, that seems to be a little bit, I guess, sort of out the realm of what's happening in the commodity complex with oil and the like, and all US dollar denominated assets are a little bit of a question mark over. So the tech space is getting a little bit of flows now. But in general, yeah, I mean, Jimmy, I don't really have a definitive answer. It's really tricky out there with managing money.
Nick, let's take a look at the performance of currencies. They also reflective at the moment of what the uncertainty looks like in the market. I mean, the Rand back at 16 Rand 70 almost. At one stage, you and I were having conversations below 16 Rand. We know that a lot of this has to do with that risk-off sentiment as risk leaves emerging markets, and South Africa being a proxy for that emerging market currency trade. What do you make of the performance of the Rand, not just against the US dollar, but perhaps against all of the major currencies?
Yeah, so I mean, the currency is now, you know, hinging on certainly on the back of that, what the dollar is doing, and you said not just the dollar, what the central banks are doing. I mean, right now, I mean, there's so much other stuff going on besides what's happening in Iran. I mean, it's quite a rare occurrence. We're getting four major central banks that are setting interest rates this week. We've got obviously the Bank of Japan, ECB, Bank of England, the Fed announced tomorrow. This morning, we had Bank of Australia that actually raised rates. And we've also got Sweden, Switzerland. There's quite a few. I could carry on naming them. But all these central banks now, you know, just a couple of months ago, Jimmy, you know, we're talking about interest rate cuts. You know, maybe not right this session now, but certainly sort of June, July, going into the second half of the year, we're talking about 2-3 interest rate cuts from these central banks. Such as the inflation fear sort of popped up now. We're now talking about interest rate rises. And off the back of that, money going back into the dollar, into the sort of the sort of developed markets, which has put emerging markets literally under the cosh. I mean, look at this rand. I mean, it's moved literally almost a rand in the space of 2 weeks. It's a bit depressing. All that sort of decent hard work that we did as a country last year can be wiped out with things outside of our control for now.
Nick, let's stick with that central bank conversation. Your expectations around the interest rates, obviously, as you mentioned, inflation likely to fuel the decision-making process from a committee perspective, the committees and those responsible for those interest rate decisions set to meet and set to make or set to consider that. How do we think the US's decision is going to play out? And by extension, I suppose, how do we think that then sets the tone for other central banks to look at markets? I mean, you touched on the Australian central bank already taking the lead in interest rate decisions from their perspective. And at some point, we were going through conversations looking at central banks making the best decisions for their own economies. I suppose this is a global problem, and so this might cause a global inflationary problem.
Big time. That is your major risk here, is that beneath all these other moves, inflation risk, I guess, now has been marked up quite a bit. And then the other side of inflation has been marked up by this I guess, fear of higher energy prices. You're getting growth expectations now being marked down. And, you know, any central banker, that's like the absolute nightmare. I mean, then you start talking about stagflation, which is a real problem. I mean, I think it's far too early to call that yet. But the longer that this oil price does what it does and stays close to 100 or over 100, the likelihood of higher inflation persists. But I must say, I mean, that in itself is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, the world's lived with higher oil prices before. The problem you've got to look out for is if you get a real sort of oil shock. I'll be walking, you know, in a few days' time, all of a sudden oil's at 150. Then you've got that typically, these huge spikes is what actually leads to market sell-offs and, I guess, ultimately heightened recession risks. But also, we're not there yet. We're still trying to figure out how this is going to end.
Nick, let's scenario play that oil conversation out in a bit. You touched on 150, and that is an alarming number. Mm-hmm. I know we recently got very close to the $120 level on Brent, but what does 150 look like? What does that mean for global markets? What does that mean? I mean, there's analysts out there saying that triggers a massive sell-off, tips us into potentially recessionary environments if that inflation persists and those prices persist. What does a world where Brent is at 150 look like for markets?
Well, very troubled unless you're sitting in Texas on an oil. the rest of us will suffer immensely. I mean, a real oil spike, just shoots your sort of recession risk straight up. I mean, then you're talking about a recession, because the whole world revolves on. Look, we're not the same. We're not like we were in the 1970s. We have sort of deviated a little bit to alternative energy sources, but still, the world still does run on a majority of oil. The Southeast Asian countries, likes of India, China would take a huge knock as well. I mean, they import almost all that oil from the Middle East. I guess things like America would be a little bit more sheltered, but you know, it does get passed on through the entire chain. You know, the food chain, the transport, the goods, all the fertilizers, everything else would the costs would go up exponentially. So, I mean, it doesn't even bear thinking about. If we get to 150 oil, then we've really got a problem. But as I say, it's not the base case. And just to add, you know, I've always said this on the show a few times, you know, markets are fairly efficient. And the front end, the spot price of oil might be near 100. But the further out you look down the sort of the futures markets, you get what's called backwardation, where they are forecasting a price of oil closer to 70 the further you get out, $60 if you look at January next year. So for now, the base case, certainly what the front end of the oil market is saying, is that this is going to be, you know, short-lived. I say that 3 weeks in, but that is the base case for now.
Well, when you say short-lived, I'm reminded of the time President Trump said it was done in a day, and 3 weeks later, here we are. Nick, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the gold price. Is that base case looking good, looking bad? I mean, it's still dipping below the $5,000 an ounce mark every now and then. Doesn't seem to be moving too much at the moment with all the risk sentiment and the uncertainty. But again, having run up from $3,000 to $5,000 almost effortlessly, one can forgive it for taking a bit of a breather.
Yeah, I think the price action is behaving reasonably well. I mean, 4996 as we speak on spot gold. So, I mean, $3, $4 short of that 5,000 level. Look, I think, you know, those who want to have a little bit of insurance, I think gold at these levels certainly is possibly some. You know, I think the recent sell-off in gold also, I mean, that dollar index is what's pushed this gold price down where it was. I mean, it's back over 100 at one stage. It's back under 100 on the dollar index. So yeah, I think gold, you could probably, you know, take a look at these current levels. Certainly has a little bit of insurance.
Insurance might be needed if the markets continue to behave the way they have been behaving, but even then, tread lightly and tread carefully. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Thanks so much to the portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, Nick Kunz, for joining us to take a look at markets and try and make sense of them.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.